If someone gets high on heroin or fentanyl and overdoses, they are 30 times more likely to die if they're homeless. That's one piece of the puzzle emerging from the Baker administration's release of the latest overdose death data for Massachusetts. And the finding is no surprise to drug users who live on the streets or in the woods, as WBUR's Martha Biebinger discovered on a visit to an urban tent community in Greater Boston.
This network of 10 or so tents is off a paved trail near bustling shops and restaurants. One side of the walking, biking path is lined with luxury condos. On the other, ducks swim across a pond into fields of cattails.
It's this beautiful marshy area. There's wildflowers, a bird sanctuary, lily pads.
Kristen, a homeless drug user, guides me past the marsh.
And then when you get into like the thicker wood parts and you see paths,
more than a dozen, some pounded down by deer, underage drinkers or hikers, and some that lead to campsites.
That's where you have these little tent communities of homeless addicts. Just to see the two existing, like, together is bizarre.
Bizarre and confusing. Kristen scrambles down the wrong path twice, looking for the tent where she left a bag and some bedding.
No, it's up a little further, sorry. I haven't been here in like a week and a half. 2 weeks, maybe.
Kristen says she was detained on outstanding warrants and then hospitalized for an infected injection wound in one arm. We're only using first names in this story because Kristen and other tent dwellers use illegal drugs. I slip down a bank, walk a plank across some mud and up a short hill to a cluster of three tents. Kristen pokes her head into a maroon and gray one, the last place she called home.
It's just like a messed up shooting gallery in there.
She grabs a pill bottle, pops the cap, and sticks one finger inside.
What is that? Ugh, something's wrong with that.
Kristen salvages a pocket-sized pink notebook where she stores phone numbers and personal information. She'll ditch the clothes and bedding.
It's all in there trashed, covered in, like, mysterious liquid, dirt, pipe tobacco, broken needles. It's bad.
It's hard to tell what happened here, but looking around, Kristen sees signs of methamphetamine users who go into overdrive and stay up for days on end. Not the heroin users like herself, who tend to be more mellow.
One of the side effects or behaviors, I don't know what you want to call it, of methamphetamine use is hoarding stuff. Candles, throw pillows.
A few feet away, there's a microwave oven, a George Foreman grill, and a waffle maker.
What the heck is a waffle maker doing out here?
But whether you're using meth or heroin, this is not a clean or safe place to inject drugs.
You're even just walking through here, your arms are getting dirty. They doubt you're going to use an alcohol wipe. You know, say someone comes and wants to shoot heroin and they see that spoon that was like in the mulch in the dirt. They're probably just going to give that a quick little wipe, if that.
Some users avoid shooting up in the woods. Take Joe, who comes out of a large red tent near a creek, a space he's been sharing for about 4 months.
My friends have been here longer, but... Oh. I'm tent sitting.
Yeah, like house sitting kind of.
Protecting clothes, money, and personal items. Holding down the rights to this flat spot near water, well out of sight from the paved path. Joe says he hasn't used heroin since the morning last February, when he and a buddy went to a porta potty and Joe overdosed. The friend called 911.
They hit me four times with Narcan and the paddles. I was dead. Deader than dead.
And Joe might still be dead if he'd overdosed in his tent.
How would police or EMTs ever find you if you were in trouble? It's definitely like playing roulette out here.
Kristen and Joe say they've never seen a police officer, EMT, or park ranger in these woods. But a few weeks after this interview, someone pitches a tent too close to the bike path and is spotted. Officers sweep the area, pushing the tent community deeper into the woods. With heavy bush clippers, a man named Bobby clears dead vines from inside a thicket, creating enough space for a tent that will be concealed by brush.
Now look at that. That's great. And that's
what Bobby and his boyfriend Eddie have been in these woods on and off for a year and know the risks. Bobby OD'd last winter. Eddie used 4 pumps of naloxone, all he had on hand, to revive Bobby.
That's scary. It was dark out. We had no phone. So and it was the middle of the night. So imagine, no one to call, no way to call anybody, no one to even contact.
So why is this better than a shelter?
You can come and go as we want, and we feel safe. It's ours.
In a shelter, Eddie says, people take your stuff. They spread head lice, and they deal drugs.
Shelters are not the place to be if you're trying to stay clean. That's just the reality.
Eddie and Bobby say they're on methadone and haven't used heroin or fentanyl for 2 weeks. Their main concern right now is preparing the new tent site.
Come here, real quick. Push this off.
In a dumpster near the bike path, Bobby spots thick laminated doors, luxury condo leftovers.
We get two of those under the tent.
Yeah, you keep it off the ground, you're good to go.
Bobby pushes aside a box of chrome door pulls.
Yeah, we don't want those.
Those are nice door handles.
They really are, but we don't have any doors for them.
The doors, sans handles, may help Bobby and Eddie survive another winter outdoors. Two city boys who've come to love the woods.
Yeah.
And we had a Disney movie going on in front of our tent down there.
It was the cutest thing.
Our life is a Disney. We got ducklings waking us up. We got chipmunks and deers and wild turkeys at 7 o'clock in the morning.
They do still stock their tent with naloxone, hoping to have enough if one of them overdoses again, hoping they don't both go out at once, hoping they beat the odds of using drugs while homeless. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.